The Senate finally passes the COVID-19 stimulus package. What's actually in it for you? We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, as we said, folks, this is an important broadcast to tune in today. So if you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends and family. If you are listening on radio or Sirius XM and you're at home, gather around, folks, and tell people to tune in, because we have had a team of attorneys and experts working through the night from across the country. Our office in Washington, D.C., attorneys there in Virginia Beach, in Kentucky, where I am. We've had attorneys working on this through the night so that we could analyze what the Senate passed 96-0 last night, a massive $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus compromise package. It happened just before midnight. It now sends the bill to the House of Representatives. And Than, let's before we get to what's in it, let's explain to people what happens next to actually get this to the president's desk. Is Nancy Pelosi going to try to pull some stunt again and try to fund Planned Parenthood, even though the Senate stripped that out and Planned Parenthood's very unhappy about it? They tweeted about it. Or is this going to be allowed to move forward in the House?
Well, we're going to have to wait and see. We're not going to take it for granted that she won't try something, Jordan. Everything that she is saying, everything that Leader Hoyer is saying, is that they will take this bill up as is tomorrow in the House of Representatives, have a little bit of debate, and then try to pass it by voice vote. Very similar to unanimous consent, Jordan. Any member of the House could demand a roll call vote, but all indications are that they will be able to pass it by voice vote. But look, we're not going to take it for granted. I think it's kind of interesting, Jordan. Speaker Pelosi at her press conference today was actually taking credit for the changes in the bill, even though the changes in the bill that happened from the original Senate bill were very minor, and virtually all of the ones that she put in her House bill that we've been warning people about came out. So, look, she can take credit if she wants, Jordan. Maybe that increases the odds that they're able to pass it tomorrow in the House. I do think that's most likely, and at least for now, Jordan, that's what they're saying. Voice vote tomorrow in the House.
Voice vote, so much quicker kind of vote. Here's some key points just as we get into this first break. There will be the one-time direct payments to Americans of $1,200 per adult making up to $75,000 a year, $2,400 to married couples making up to $150,000 a year, with an extra additional $500 payments per child. Now, after $75,000 threshold for individuals, the benefits get reduced by $5 for each $100 a taxpayer makes. So it's not like if you make more than that, you won't get anything to a certain point. And by the way, Than, we also now can confirm that those who receive Social Security benefits will also be eligible and will receive this money. And we got a lot of questions about that. They will be receiving these checks as well.
Those who receive Social Security benefits, Jordan, those who have little tax liability, those who have no tax liability, all will be eligible. And Jordan, it is what's called a fully refundable tax credit. You don't have to worry about that if you're listening to this. All that means is it is a direct check to you and you will not be taxed on it. So Jordan, all of those categories of people will be getting checks in the coming weeks.
All right, folks, we are going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And I want to make it clear that language to try to work around the Hyde Amendment was defeated in the U.S. Senate. Planned Parenthood, under the Senate bill, will not get a single dime. They will not be able to get their work around up to $1 billion. They even tweeted out, I've got it in my hand right here, the tweet from Planned Parenthood: while the Senate stimulus plan does provide much-needed resources for those impacted by COVID-19, which is the only reason for the stimulus, the Trump administration, Republican leaders once again exploit public health crisis to target sexual and reproductive health care. You mean trying to override existing federal law that prevents federal taxpayer dollars from funding abortions, Planned Parenthood? So they're angry about COVID-19 and the stimulus that will be going out to the American people to help our economy get through this tough moment in time. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a matching challenge at ACLJ.org, and we encourage all of you right now, because of the shutdowns happening across the country, if you donate by mail usually, donate online at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. We're working around.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. It is breaking news because last night the Senate, just before midnight, approved a $2 trillion package, the largest stimulus package ever, to combat the economic effects of COVID-19. Now, what's in it for you? Let me go through again. How does it directly affect you most directly? Well, there's going to be one-time direct payments to Americans of $1,200 per adult, making up to $75,000 a year. $2,400 to married couples making up to $150,000 a year, and an additional $500 payment per child. Now, after that, you can still receive funding. It will just go down depending on how much more than that you make to a certain threshold. So again, that is key. Second, we got this question so many times, Stan, about Social Security recipients and people who don't pay any taxes or pay very small amount of taxes. They are going to be eligible for this as well. They'll be getting those checks.
Yeah, under absolutely the same criteria, income eligibility criteria, but the Social Security will not disqualify you from these checks. And anyone who's living entirely off Social Security is going to get the maximum amount, Jordan. There's no way that their income threshold would go past where the phase-outs begin. And by the way, it's not just Social Security recipients. It's also low-income recipients when a lot of times when these happen, Jordan, just because of the functionality of getting checks out the mail, if you don't have tax liability, it can be very difficult, or there can be an intentional policy decision made not to give the relief to those low-income individuals. That is not the case here. It won't even be a reduced amount, Jordan. It will be the full amount. If you did not pay taxes in your last filing year, whether it's 2019 or 2018, you are still eligible for the full amount of direct relief through this bill. And Jordan, just I would say too that a lot of those people are asking how quickly. Secretary Mnuchin's goal here is 3 weeks. That's very quick. We don't know if he'll meet it, but that's a very ambitious goal. They're trying to get this out as quickly as they can.
You know, folks, so let's keep going. What else is in here? It allocates $250 billion to extend unemployment insurance to more workers and lengthen the duration to 39 weeks, up from the normal 26 weeks. That's $600 extra a week would be provided for 4 months. And again, I think what needs to be pointed out here is, Stan, we saw the largest amount of unemployment filings in U.S. history since that's been tracked, almost 3.3 million people filing for unemployment. So it is key that the House takes quick action on this section as well, because there are a lot of people who are worried about just paying their bills, who are unemployed right now, service industries, hotels. There's been a lot of cuts to a lot of positions. So right there, again, you've got key money that will be going out to help people to make sure they can pay their bills, feed their children.
Yeah, Jordan, there's just the straight reality is that number is going to continue to go up because these businesses are following the mandates of state of governors, also the guidance from the federal government. They don't have a whole lot of choice in some cases but to lay off individuals. So this unemployment insurance expansion is one of two main ways this bill tries to address this. You mentioned the extension from 26 weeks to 39 weeks. Jordan, there's also an additional $600 per week for the next 4 months that'll be delivered from the federal government. For someone who is applying. So you're talking about a very robust expansion of unemployment insurance. And I know you're going to get to this in just a little bit, but there's also provisions in the small business section that, Jordan, I actually think will help slow those number of claims. Now, look, I'm not telling you they're not going to grow. They are going to grow. But there are provisions in the small business section that incentivize small businesses to keep employees on. So hopefully not as many as otherwise would have filed.
Yeah, here's that part right there. Provides $349 billion in loans to small businesses. Money spent on rent, payroll, and utilities become grants that don't need to be paid back. Many hotels would also qualify as small businesses under the plan. By the way, so will churches. Churches will be eligible as 501c3. So churches and other nonprofit organizations are eligible for the small business loans. So we need to tell everybody, especially if you work for a church, if you're a pastor, let them know that every application will be different, but they are broadly eligible, just like a for-profit small business. And here's the key. The key is that you can't, the key is that you won't be furloughing your workers, that you'll continue. If you get these loans, you continue to keep people on staff.
Yeah, that's right. $349 billion of it is for that purpose, Jordan. I think the total small business provision is something like $377 billion. But the vast majority of that $349 billion that is available for these small business loans, including churches that meet the definition for small businesses, Jordan, the portion that they use for that over the next 8 weeks for eligible expenses, which are mainly keeping payroll up to speed, mortgage expenses, rent expenses, utility expenses. There are a few other eligible criteria. Jordan, for every dollar that is used for those purposes, these loans do not have to be repaid. They convert to grants. Now, the remainder of uses will convert to a very low interest loan and you can keep it on your books, but let's just distill it down very quickly. If a small business gets a loan for $10,000 to keep their payroll up for the next 8 weeks, and they do keep their payroll up, Jordan, they will not have to pay a single dime of that $10,000 back. So it's called a loan for now, but it's going to be a grant if you keep people on your payroll. And that's what we were talking about a minute ago. That will keep unemployment claims lower than they otherwise would have been.
All right. So, folks, we are going to start taking your calls now. 1-800-684-3110. There's more in here, of course. There is passenger airlines would receive about $25 billion for workers' salaries and benefits. So, again, this is key. This is why it's a good proposal in this sense, that to get this as loan guarantees, your contract workers would also receive $3 billion in assistance, and airlines would have to agree, just like those other small businesses, not to furlough workers until at least the end of September in return. And then $17 billion will go to other distressed companies like Boeing, and Boeing is seen as a national security, essential to our national security. Approximately $200 billion would be provided in tax assistance to small business, including through payroll tax deferrals. Student loan payments are suspended through September 30th. Real ID deadlines, those were coming up soon. Those were actually going to be, for this fall, have now been extended to September of 2021. So that was going to be difficult because DMVs being closed and people needed to be in lines, things like that. I was actually looking at today how to maybe do that online so I could get in compliance with my I don't have a real ID yet. And made sure that wouldn't have any issues with voting in November. But now that is not going to be an issue. So that's clear. And there's more in here. There's $117 billion for hospitals. But I want to get to phone calls now. Let's take the first call of the day. Carrie in South Carolina on line four. Carrie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you a lot, Jordan. I really appreciate the call. I listen to you every day. And fan, y'all do a great job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
My question is on the $75,000 cap. Is that going to be based on your taxable income of 2018, or like if you contributed to 401k and all that, is it based on your taxable income or your like your gross income with overtime and all included? Do you know that?
It's your adjusted gross income, right, Than? So if you've already filed, it's your adjusted gross income.
Correct. Either way, it's the adjusted gross income. So before you start taking your deductions in Jordan, yeah, if you've already filed your 2019 taxes, that's what it's going to be based on. If you haven't, don't worry. They'll reach back to your 2018 filing and base it off of that. And again, Jordan, since it's a tax credit, if there's a deviation in there, that will be worked out when you file your taxes in 2020. But they're initially going to base it on the most recent taxes that you filed, either 2019 or 2018.
And I think what's key here, and we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, as we continue to walk through. You know, I'm seeing right now that the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, who I think has done a pretty good job in New York, but I don't like the fact that he came out today and said there's nothing in this for states. And then I see that there's $117 billion for hospitals, that we've got the federal government working on providing ventilators. We've got FEMA in there. They've got anesthesiologists converting the anesthesiologists and using those same kind of programs, and they have to do just a filter change, and it can become a ventilator. So to say, Than, that there's nothing in here for states is just an outright lie from Andrew Cuomo. And I'm starting to feel like he was doing a really good job. Now he's starting to get some attention from the Democrat Party as maybe the guy to pick instead of Joe Biden, who's, I won't get into it a ton today, but he's just been horrendous throughout this. If you've watched any of the Joe Biden videos in response, I mean, he can't read the teleprompter, he can't get out the words. And Andrew Cuomo is starting to make this a little bit more and more political as the numbers start to go down in New York.
Yeah, Jordan, this is not a fair criticism of the bill, because you do not want to earmark for specific states these funds. Let's just take, for example, the $117 billion that's for hospitals. Applications that come in right now, he is going to get a disproportionate amount of those. But if you fast forward a week, Jordan, and let's say New York is declining, and just pick a state. Say Nebraska suddenly has a hot spot and they need more funds. If the earmarks say that only New York can get those funds, you don't have the flexibility to adjust. So he's going to get more of this than most states are, but it is not a fair criticism to say that the bill should have been pigeonholed that only New York should qualify them. He's going to do just fine, and this is something that he needs to adjust. It's not a fair criticism.
No, it's not. Okay, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, continue to go through this. ACLJ attorneys and staff were working through this throughout the night so we can provide all this information to you and what's in the Senate bill and what should remain there, and hopefully the House changes nothing tomorrow and just has that voice vote. We're going to be watching that very carefully. This battle is not done. We have to really watch what Nancy Pelosi may try to do if she doesn't move forward that way.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A big victory out of this, let me just underscore it again. And this is because work the ACLJ team. I mean, we have, I know a lot of you are not able to be at work right now, but we've got teams across the country because of this legislation that are working on this throughout the night because of the way this is working through the Senate to make sure nothing gets snuck into this legislation. And they tried to once, and that's why there's been a delay. Unfortunately, this should have been passed, you know, a week ago. But there was a delay because of things like funding to Planned Parenthood and a work around the Hyde Amendment to the tune of $1 billion. Now, we can report today that in the Senate, the Senate was successful in stripping that language out, Than. Not a dime will go to Planned Parenthood through this stimulus that the Senate passed. And if Nancy Pelosi stays on the track that she's saying, and it's just going to be a voice vote on the Senate language with no additional amendments, now we're going to watch that very closely, that means that under this round two of stimulus, there will not be a single dime to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, this is a big victory, Jordan, and there are actually places littered throughout the Pelosi bill and even early versions of the Senate bill that we were worried about. In fact, four specific places in the final bill, there are references to the Hyde Amendment that you mentioned. I'll just tell you, pages 236, page 413, page 606, and page 878 all protect various provisions of this bill based on the existing Hyde Amendment that is in statute that says the dollars cannot be used for abortion. Jordan, there was also a definitional problem in the small business loans that we thought would have enabled Planned Parenthood to say, we can actually take advantage of this because of lost revenues. That has been fixed using a traditional definition for small businesses, capping it at 500 employees. Obviously, Planned Parenthood and other large corporations don't apply. Jordan, those are all significant wins. And yes, if Speaker Pelosi takes this up and passes it by voice vote, I have to tell you, these are significant multi-billion dollar slush funds that are now protected by the Hyde Amendment, whereas just a few days ago, they wouldn't have been, Jordan.
And note this victory on top of that, that so that Planned Parenthood won't get a single dime. We can now also report that with the $349 billion in loans to small businesses, money spent on rent, payroll, and utilities, it will become grants that don't need to be paid back. So lots of small businesses will qualify, like even hotels will qualify, but so will nonprofit 501c3s. That means churches, folks. So you need to let your pastor know. If you're a pastor, you need to know this, that even if you're having trouble because you're not having normal services and maybe the tithes aren't coming in the same way because people are in these economic periods where they just don't have the resources to make their usual tithe to the church, you are going to be eligible for the small business loans. So churches, again, every application will be different, but they are broadly eligible just like a for-profit small business. And what that means is you'll be able to, if you're eligible and you put this application in because you need it, you can keep your staff. That's part of the key here, is you can keep your staff on the payroll so that you're ready to reopen those church doors when you need to. And I know a lot of churches are doing a lot of things with technology with their staff as much as possible, with limited staff, but that was a key win too, that churches are included as part of the, and nonprofits are included, so that they can keep their doors open doing the great work that they do around the country. But make sure you note that as well. Now, at the same time, Planned Parenthood got defunded out of this stimulus. They didn't like that very much. Nancy Pelosi wasn't able to sneak that through. But they're suing Texas. Planned Parenthood Federation of America, along with other pro-abortion groups, has filed a lawsuit yesterday against Texas Governor Greg Abbott, the Attorney General there, and other state officials over temporary bans on elective abortion during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, folks, we've heard time and time again from state government leaders and federal government leaders, including the coronavirus task force, Than, not to go forward with elective procedures right now, that you're taking away from those who need the materials the most, the hospital beds the most. So why would those not also be included if it's an elective abortion? It's the exact same language. It's an elective procedure. Don't go through with those right now. And that again, Planned Parenthood wants to be treated differently because they feel like they are always treated differently. It's the abortion distortion that we see, and they file right away in federal court at a time when the country is not focused on abortion rights. It's focused on battling and defeating the coronavirus.
It's so ironic and tragic on a number of levels, Jordan. I mean, first of all, you're consuming personal protective equipment for healthcare workers for that elective procedure when it's desperately needed to care for people who might be dying from the COVID virus. The other thing is, Jordan, it happens in an environment where these same industries have been fighting against sanitation and cleanliness standards. So you're talking about surgical centers used for abortions that may not even rise to the minimum levels that other surgical centers have to apply for. So the risks there would be even higher. Not to mention the increased risk that we're starting to see among infants. Young people are generally recovering, but infants can contract this. Jordan, the other thing I would tell you is the one bright spot in this point, and I know you referenced it earlier, but in that series of tweets that Planned Parenthood put out, I loved a couple of the bullets that they included in there. They specifically admitted what I just described to you a little bit ago, that this, they say it expands the discriminatory Hyde Amendment. Actually, it just applies it to all of the provisions of the bill. But then second, it says allows the Small Business Administration discretion to deny Planned Parenthood new nonprofit loans. Yeah, you mean because Planned Parenthood is not a small business under any definition that the Small Business Administration has ever done. But I love, Jordan, that even their own communications admit what we've been working towards.
You know what, folks? Let me just encourage you right now. We've got ACLJ teams at a time when most of the country is shut down. But here we are on the broadcast, and you're hearing on your radio station. You're hearing on Sirius XM Live. You can watch us live on Facebook and Periscope right now. And we've got our team working around the clock because we're able to keep working under even the restrictions that are being put in place around the country because the broadcast that we provide, because of the legal services that we provide, we're able to keep going and doing this work. If you have questions about how we're able to do that, that's why we get exempted out of a lot of these orders that you're seeing across the country that get put in place. But understand that while our team is doing that, this is a big month for us because it's a matching challenge month of March. So for those of you who are still receiving your paycheck, who are still, you know, you've got job security or you're retired and you make your monthly donations and you feel secure, I encourage you, this is a great time to donate to the ACLJ. But because of the shutdowns of various parts of offices, the best way to do it right now is at ACLJ.org/donate. ACLJ.org/donate, and your gifts will be doubled this month. You double the impact. It's a matching challenge month. And I encourage you, if you usually donate through the mail, you will be more quickly getting the resources to the ACLJ so we can continue the around-the-clock work, because this is not the end of the legislation. The House still got to vote on it, and then they're looking at round three on this. So we've got to continue to be so vigilant in making sure we don't miss anything in these very large, this is the largest stimulus package ever. So donate to the ACLJ today. It's a matching challenge. And if you usually donate by mail, it's best to do it online right now because you can get the resources quicker to us. You double the impact of your donation. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today. When we come back, we're going to start answering. You got a lot of calls coming in. We're going to answer a lot of those calls and questions for you as best we can based on what the Senate, remember, this has not yet been passed by the House yet, but it's what the Senate has passed, what we hope makes it to the president's desk, would be good, great for the country. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. And remember, ACLJ.org. Donate today online, double your impact. We need your support so we can continue working around the clock.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Okay, so we've talked about the one-time direct payments to Americans. People have questions about that. We will answer your questions about that. By the way, on page 598 of the Senate passed stimulus package, $2 trillion, largest ever in U.S. history, $150 billion goes to the state. It goes to the states, okay? Now, Andrew Cuomo is saying on TV today that the states are getting nothing. And the key is that he thinks he should get everything. But many states are dealing with this, not all as serious as New York, but we're also watching for where this could be spreading in different states. So, again, he's done an effective job in advocating for New York, and I think in speaking to the American people through these press conferences. At the same time, you don't want to look to the point where you're being greedy and ignoring, which can often be the case, by the way, for New York, especially in New York City. Like, the rest of the country is also dealing with this, not just you, New York. Though you are dealing with it the worst right now and should be getting the most resources. That may not be the case a week from now. Now, maybe it is, and you need to get more resources. But, Than, the money is there for the states as well. So it's not just for individuals. It's not just for small businesses. It's not just for the larger businesses. It's for the states as well.
Yeah, Jordan, this actually made me pretty frustrated as I watched his press conference both yesterday and today. Again, I think he's done a good job in some portions. But look, yeah, this is the bill. I've been pouring through it. It's 880 pages long. For those who are watching, you can see it. You're right, Jordan. Page 598, I'll read it for you right here. Out of any money in the Treasury of the United States not otherwise appropriated, there are appropriated for making payments to states. Now, he wants that to say his state, the state of New York, but again, there's a reason you want to appropriate it available to all of the states, tribal governments, and units of local government under this section. $150 billion for fiscal year 2020. So, Jordan, what he needs to focus on doing is making application under this provision with the wealth of data coming out of New York. They are the most hit by this right now. He should be able to very favorably compete for those funds. He needs to quit complaining about the amount that is specifically earmarked for him. And Jordan, he needs to go to work for the people of New York to make the case that they are the state that needs the most amount of that funds. If he makes that case effectively, Jordan, I have no doubt New York will get more funds than any other state.
That's right. I don't either. I have no doubt about that. Here's Speaker Pelosi, by the way, because, and this is today, which sounds like she's kind of given up on trying to get her. Now, again, take nothing from Nancy Pelosi until they actually vote in the House and they don't try to make any changes to get money to abortion or Green New Deal. We're going to actually walk through all the things she lost in this legislation because it kind of contrasts, interestingly, with this new soundbite from Nancy Pelosi. Take a listen.
These are needs that people have. Understand this about this. It's really important to know this. This is all about the coronavirus. It's not about anything else. It's about the coronavirus. So this is temporary for this period of time.
Than, that is only because of the work of organizations like ours and good members of the United States Congress who made sure it wasn't about, I can go through the full list, don't have the time right now, we will when we come back. It wasn't about the Green New Deal or corporate board diversity or the minimum wage, federal minimum wage, and all these other different alternative energy programs. It was made to be only about the COVID-19 crisis, not because Nancy Pelosi wanted it that way, but because other members of Congress stepped up and said that's all it should be about.
And Jordan, that's exactly correct. But it would have been done days ago if all of those provisions that you mentioned and the ones that we'll walk through hadn't been in the bills that she put forward. They had to come out. It took time. There was a political fight. Jordan, that's the reason why this bill didn't clear the Senate days ago. It would already be signed into law, and the Treasury Department would already be working on these checks, except Speaker Pelosi made it about all those other projects.
All right, folks, we're going to take your questions. We got a lot of questions coming in. We're going to answer them as best we can for you. You know, this language just coming out at midnight last night. But as best we can for you, go to ACLJ.org. If you're in the position today where you can financially support us, we're working around the clock here. To keep you up to date on what's in this legislation, go to ACLJ.org, donate online, double the impact of your donation, a matching challenge month of March. Donate online today, ACLJ.org. We need your support.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
So as our team worked through the night to make sure we could report to you on JSecu Live exactly what was in this and how it affected you most directly to it, we're about to start taking those phone calls on that. Then there's also a point we want to make sure about, because people are going to hear about this from states, they're going to hear about it from Cuomo, and kind of politicizing this a little bit as well. There's a lot of this resources available to states within this stimulus package. Explain to people what you were just going through through our messenger.
Yeah, and a lot of credit to Ben Sisney, one of our attorneys here, who's pouring through this. He's putting in a lot of midnight hours. He just texted me, Jordan, that page 600 of this bill outlines how that $150 billion will be distributed. Every state has to get at least $1.25 billion of that. So that's the first $62.5 billion. Jordan, that leaves $87.5 billion to be distributed in a formulaic manner. So New York, the state of New York, is going to do very well inside that $87.5 billion because they have the greatest need, as they should. So again, I would just say to Governor Cuomo, instead of spending time complaining about what you automatically get, you ought to be going in and applying for the most of that $87.5 that you can get. Go look it up. Page 600 of the bill lays it out. Every state has to get at least $1.25, but after that, it's competitive and it's formulaic.
Let's go right to the phones. Jill in Kentucky on line 3. Jill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jill.
Real quick, I just wanted to mention I have supported you all in the past.
Thank you.
But it's extremely hard now because I had to go on disability.
Yep.
Which brings me to my question. Do you all have any information on us who are on disability? Do we receive anything?
So I think it's based on the formula of this. First of all, even if you receive Social Security, we all pay little to no taxes, we know you can receive this. So I think it's based on the formula, Than, and this is what we go off of, that unless your disability is for an individual is over somehow $75,000 a year, and even if it is, you would get something still up to a certain point, or $150,000 if you were both unemployed, which is unlikely. So you will be eligible for this.
Yeah, 100% correct. Now, we wouldn't want to tell everybody, obviously, you're going to want to consult your tax professional or your CPA for your individual situation. But yeah, Jordan, same as Social Security. It does count as income. It always has. Right. But again, just listening to the caller, I think it's very unlikely that she's reaching that phase-out phase, and she should expect to get the full amount of check, assuming everything else is as it appears.
Just so we can answer people, where is that phase-out phase kind of come down, Than? Where does it come down around?
Well, so for an individual, it starts phasing out at $75,000 of adjusted gross income. For a married couple, $150,000. But Jordan, it's phased. It's literally your rebate drops $5 for every $100 of income on top of that. And everyone who makes up to $99,000 as an individual, adjusted gross income, or $198,000 if you're a married couple, will get something. If you make over that level, Jordan, $99,000 for an individual or $198,000 for a married couple, anybody above that won't get a check at all.
But anybody at that still will get a check. I mean, that's a significant amount of the middle class in the United States of America, people making almost $100,000 a year as individuals or almost $200,000 a year as a couple. I mean, so we'll get something still. You won't necessarily get the full amount of the $1,200 or the $2,400, but you will still be getting something, which is in effect is to make sure that we keep our, you would be in this position, I think, if you were got that, to use that to keep the economy moving, you know, to keep spending, if you can. And then for those who are more concerned about paying their bills, you know, hold on to the money while you can and make sure, remember too, that you may be getting that you, on top of workforce. We have questions about that as well. Let's go to Meredith in Michigan on line six. Meredith, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Meredith, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, what's your question?
Well, my son is a gas station assistant manager.
Yep.
My husband works in grocery store.
Yep.
And we are in a small town in Michigan that is a tourist town.
Yep.
I am on, I'm nervous, so I went blank. Not Social Security.
Disability?
Unemployment.
Unemployment, okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
And so I understand I will be getting this unemployment plus the $600. It kind of like broke my son's spirit, though, because people who are not working, not out in the workforce and prone to get this, they're going to be getting double of what he's making and working and being out in the environment.
I think you're wrong on that. Now, Than, correct me if I'm wrong, but your son, if he is making $75,000 a year or less and he's not married, will be getting the full $1,200, the full $1,200 check. Your husband that you talked about works at a grocery store. Unless you all have a combined a gross income, you would be getting the $2,400. So I think that's key. That again for you, unless you're making an adjusted gross income of $150,000 or more, and you're not with unemployment likely in that position, so you'd still be getting those checks on top of your salary. So it's not going to take away from your salary. Your son's still going to get that check, and I don't know if he's married or not. So it might be $1,200, might be $2,400, and your husband is as well. And again, likely that'll be $2,400 because you're married. So Than, I think I'm correct on that. Now there is that issue about the $600. Explain that to people.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things at play here. First of all, there's the stimulus check, which you actually accurately described, Jordan. Everybody described in that situation would be getting that check. And then there's the expanded unemployment insurance benefits, which obviously only someone who lost their job would get. And Jordan, there was some concern, specifically on the Republican side of the aisle, that there might be some very narrow circumstances where someone who loses their job temporarily gets a little bit more than someone who keeps their job. And Jordan, that's not ideal. It is going to happen in a couple places, but I would just make this plea to Meredith and anyone else listening. The ability to retain your job is far more valuable than just for a few weeks or a few months getting a few more dollars in your paycheck.
That's how
because
much we're
when
talking
we get
about.
To the other side of this, you still have your job. So it's not perfect. Some of these things are going to happen, but I would just say that your son's job, I think it was your son, that's more valuable than a few more dollars in
an
unemployment
check.
Absolutely
right now. I mean, having one of those jobs is key. Places that are going to stay open throughout this, depending on regardless of where you are in the country, even the states with the most restrictions. Those jobs are still, people are keeping those jobs and probably even can be working more hours than they were if they want to. But I do think it's also key to point out that within this is encouragement, Than, that if you're a business that starts applying for any of these loans, you've got to keep your employees on payroll. So that again, it limits that idea of people going on unemployment and then somehow making more than they were before. That might be for a few people, but for the vast majority, the way this works is to encourage businesses to say, if you want this to keep your business alive, you can't start firing all your employees.
Yeah, because that's really the goal, isn't it, Jordan? We want to keep people in their jobs so that the economy can restart again. You don't want them to claim unemployment insurance if they don't have to in the first place. So $349 billion of that small business section. The total section is $377 billion, but $349 billion is available to what are initially loans to small businesses. But Jordan, the only way they get those loans forgiven, at least the qualifying expenses, is if they maintain payroll, if they keep the employees on their payroll for the duration of this period. If that happens, Jordan, those are no longer loans. Those are grants. They do not have to pay them back. So going back to Meredith's call, I think what it will mean is her son will actually keep his job through this. And that's really what the incentive and what the bottom line goal was in the first place.
Gary from Colorado, interesting question, line one. Gary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just got a question. I'm a small business owner here in Colorado Springs and operating as a sole proprietor, and I don't have any employees, but I've lost probably close to almost $2,000 in volume and climbing as this continues on with everything being shut down. But I wanted to find out just a general idea of or clarification of what the loan is going to be for small businesses. You know, if you don't have employees, as far as the loan goes, is that only repayable if you don't have employees? Or
so the way I read it, Gary, is this: it's not just for payroll; it's money spent on rent, utilities, and then these actually turn into grants that don't need to be paid back, as long as you don't try to, in your situation, you wouldn't be firing people. So, Dan, that's how I read it: is that a sole proprietor would still be eligible if they need it for these loans. Because it also applies for things like if they need utility payments they can't make or rent they can't make. It's not just about payroll.
Yeah, that's correct. You can find the definitions of who's eligible in the first place on pages 10 and 14. If you want to know what of that is forgivable, not all of it will be, not all lost revenue will be, but Jordan, all of the things you mentioned, rent, mortgage, payroll, utilities, all of those things are eligible to convert to grants.
So there you go, Gary. I hope that answered it for you. You can go right to the legislation. We're giving you the page numbers even on that. So, again, that's how much work we have done. The ACLJ working all night so we could actually give you the page numbers of an 800-plus page stimulus bill, the biggest in history, so that you could go to find out how it affects you. Support the work of the ACLJ. We've got a matching challenge right now. We really need you to donate online. Even if you usually donate by mail, donate online today to get these resources to us as quickly as possible. ACLJ.org. Donate.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Now, I want to say this right off the top of the bat, too. We're trying to explain to you what's in the legislation that could benefit each of you that are listening right now, but it will be different for every person. So when we answer a question, that won't necessarily apply to you, and we're basing that off trusting what people are telling us is accurate. So again, you're not listening to this and say, well, I heard it on the radio show, so I'm going to make this loan. You still need to go to tax professionals so that you make sure, especially if you're a small business owner, individual looking for this, to make sure that, again, you're putting out the right information. You know, we're trusting you are, but we're kind of treating these like hypotheticals. You need to take this seriously because these funds are going to be available very soon, Than. I mean, they're going to try to get this out to people as soon as possible. So people need to be ready to take it seriously. But we're trying to answer it as generally as possible so that people know. And I think for most of the listeners out there, unless you know you're making, you know, more than $198,000 a year as a couple or more than $99,000 a year as an individual, that you should probably be getting something, maybe not the full $1,200 as an individual or the full $2,400 as a married couple, but something from the federal government in form of that check. If you're a small business owner and you're having trouble making payroll, rent, or mortgage, you should be eligible for some of these funds as well that could actually turn into not just loans, but actually grants that don't have to be paid back for some parts of it. So let's get back to the phone calls and answer as many calls as we can. Donna in Arizona, interesting question. Line two, Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a quick question. If you're a 20-year-old living at home that filed your taxes in 2018, 2019 individually, not as a dependent on your parents' taxes,
right,
and you are on your parents' insurance, what amount of stimulus check will they receive, $1,200 or $600?
I would think $1,200. I mean, that's where I would go to just based off the broad language of how this was written, because he's not a dependent. The child's not a dependent, so you wouldn't get just the credit there of the $500 credit of a dependent. He's paying his own taxes, so it'd be based off how much his adjusted gross income is. But for a 20-year-old, I'm guessing he's probably not over the $75,000 a year. So would probably be eligible for the full $1,200. Now, what's key is that you would not be, because of that, you would not get the $500 because he is not a dependent. So again, we're answering these based off the facts that you're giving us and the language that we've got in front of us last night. But I hope that clears that up for you too as well. I think it was a very interesting call. I mean, people are in lots of different unique situations right now. Michael in California in one of those unique situations. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, very unique. I was on disability for a few years. I'm back to work in January. And all of a sudden, after last week, my contract wasn't renewed, and I'm out of work again. I applied for unemployment. They said, oh, you don't qualify. You didn't work in the right base period.
Well, see,
so is there anything special?
I think that there is language in this legislation to plug these holes, Than. That is the key. For people like Mike who got back into the workforce and then lost their job and maybe under the old way of looking at things, hasn't been unemployed long enough. Now you're going to get a check of I don't know if you're married or not, Michael, but either $1,200 or $2,400. And I think there's plugs in here because it's been expanded. So Michael, you need to go back to the unemployment office and make sure, because maybe give it a day or two, make sure this legislation actually passes. We hopefully can report to you that tomorrow that it passes. But if it does, Than, first, check again, because that's been expanded, unemployment benefits and who's eligible for unemployment. But also, because of these new loans that are going to be available, the business may be ready to rehire.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make, Jordan. I definitely think you should check again to see if the expansions cover him. But there are incentives. If a business is willing to hire back an employee that they laid off because of this, Jordan, that would be eligible under the provisions of this term. As long as they meet the other ones, as long as they keep payroll up and do the other things, then they would be able to count that employee that was rehired in their tabulation. So I would just check on both fronts. Check and see if the expanded unemployment insurance covers you, but also maybe go back to your employer and say, given this expansion, might you be willing to hire me back?
All right, let's keep going through the phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 as best we can. Karen in Maryland on line 5. Welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. We filed in 2018, and it was a very odd year because of a small inheritance we received. And they've been saying all along that they were going to use 2018 data. I haven't filed the 2019 return yet, but we definitely qualify under 2019 rules. And what I'm wondering is, if I run out and electronically file today, will they use the 2019 data?
Well, okay, so Than, some of this is based off, and again, I would talk to a tax professional on this one. It's an interesting question. Like, usually you would have qualified. You got this inheritance last year. You of course, filed your taxes for 2018, and that's what it would be based on if you haven't filed for 2019. But Than, there's probably a cutoff point in this for when people filed their 2019 tax returns. Is it at the time the bill is passed, or is it backdated, or should Karen just pick up the phone right now and talk to a tax professional? I'm sure they can answer that question pretty quickly for her.
Yeah, they probably could. The truth is, Jordan, we don't know yet, and we won't know until Treasury gets the guidelines out. I suspect the deadline isn't here yet, but that is a pure guess. Jordan, the other thing I would say is don't panic too much, because this is a refundable tax credit. So even in a situation like this, it might mean that you don't get it right away, which I know is not ideal, but it's still going to balance out when you file your 2020 credits. You could still apply it at that point, and it would still be fully refundable.
So there you go. In your unique situation, we get a lot of unique situations where one year you would have usually always qualified for it. Pick up the phone, call a tax professional, and figure it out. But remember, this legislation has not yet passed yet. We think this will be the final legislation. We hope Nancy Pelosi doesn't pull any stunts tomorrow when the House votes. The president will sign it into law, but then they'll have to come up with how this will be implemented. They're going to do so quickly, but we're trying to broadly explain to people what is in this and the bad stuff that's not in it as well. We talked about that, you know, Pelosi did not get the vague slush fund that would have allowed the abortion industry bailout. She didn't get the corporate board diversity. She didn't get the Green New Deal type provisions. She didn't get bills subsidizing retirement plans for community newspaper employees. She didn't get the minimum wage increase, federal minimum wage. She didn't create this new pension, all this stuff that had nothing to do, like alternative energy, with combating the coronavirus. She didn't get any of that. So again, big victories there, Than, when it comes to this legislation. And let me tell you, folks, if we would all just shut off, put this all on replay, had our staff all go, you know, just everybody kind of go and try and work from home and do what you can. Yeah, we're working around the clock to get info to legislators, to make sure they know what they're voting on, to make sure we're informing you about what is being voted on, how it will affect you, how it will affect the issues you care about. We need your support right now, folks. I mean, this is an important month for us. The month of March is a matching challenge month, and we really encourage you to donate online. That's getting much quicker to us than mail right now because of the world we're living in with the coronavirus. So if you donate online at aclj.org, your donation is doubled, part of our matching challenge. Donate today, aclj.org. Help us keep working around the clock for you.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.